Hey, it's Beth here, episode 425. Okay, so the New York Times was not good last week, but it's good this week. So I started with this Modern Love, which is my favorite section of the styles section of the paper. Okay, great story, and it's about this woman, and she is a professor of psychology. And she said there's this concept of regression to the mean, which means that your first impression of something is always better than your second. Like when you go to a great restaurant and then you tell your friends, oh, you gotta go, come with me, it's gonna be great. It's never as good. This happened to Kit and I at St. Paul's in Provence. We went and had this spectacular day, and we went back 20 years later, and the day had nothing. The streets didn't look the same. The stores didn't look the same. Everything was horrible. Like, you should never go back. Okay, so this woman says that she married this guy because their second date was statistically abnormal. Their first date was great. She laughed all night, and she did say that she'd heard on Hidden Brain, a podcast, that it takes the average 40-year-old several months to laugh as much as a child laughs in a single day. Okay, she goes on this date with this guy. She laughs 5 months worth of laughter. Second date's even better. They're so in love. Everything's going great. And so on the third date, this is my favorite part. She says that they had this problem where they could have had a fight. And what she did was she circumvented it. And he said, listen, I don't want to be on a date with your representative. I want to be on a date with you. Tell me what we would fight about. Tell me what we would argue about. Let's get to the bottom of it. And it was a lot, because she was a professor and he was a 38-year-old skateboarder with tattoos. But they hit it off. She had two children already. And they get together, they get married, everything's great. They start cooking together. He meets the kids are great. One of their big fights was she insisted that no age was appropriate to play Grand Theft Auto. And he didn't understand what she meant. And he couldn't understand why she spent months running experiments to satisfy her academic curiosity instead of using those skills to solve pressing world problems. So we have an academic and we have someone who wants to play Grand Theft Auto. They got married, they had a baby, everything is great, I'm so into this couple. And then we find out that so this is what he did. The baby loved school buses and it would stop him from crying. So every morning he would wake up with the baby. The baby did not wake up well. And they would go out to where all the school buses came out to go to all the different stops. Every single morning this guy would do this. He was a great guy. So then one morning she's there and he's at the bus stop and he's got no color and they go to the hospital. Okay. He dies. I'm like, why did I read this? This is not modern love. This is modern loathe, modern terror, modern upset. And so she said this poem by W.S. Merwin. It goes like this. Your absence has gone through me like a thread through a needle. Everything I do is stitched with its collar. Okay, so this is not turning out to be the best story. And I'm pretty upset because our son... his birthday is March 30th. I did not need this right now, but I wanted to read it to you because this boy has the same unruly cowlick. He is in love with life. He lost his father at 2. So she says she did all this research. Now, this is the best part. She did all this research, and she found out that the first 2 years of life can shape you completely. They teach you to think of the world as either safe or threatening, to see a stranger as either a potential friend or an enemy. And she says that's what those many trips to the bus zoo where all the buses came out every morning did for him. That's what the skate park did for him. That's what everything they did together did for him. He never let the boy go to sleep crying. He stayed up and sang to him all night long. And so this woman, now the boy is nine and he loves life, and she's kind of an autistic person, and she says it's because of those 2 years with her husband. And I believe it's true, because I had a great Aunt Kitty that would come over to my house. This is what my uncle told me. And she would see people I was just sitting in a, you know, playpen all the time. She'd come into the house and she'd say, "Let me have her. You don't know what you're doing." And she'd pick me up and we'd go outside and she would talk to me and she would love me. And I do believe that made a difference. I really do. So my father did the same thing every now and then, but Aunt Kitty did it every single time. One time he took me to see Mr. Magoo movie all by myself. I don't know why I got him to myself. I was five. Took me into the city. We went to go see Mr. Magoo. It was at like Radio City Music Hall. And I loved it so much that he said, "Did you enjoy it?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "How much?" I said, "So much." He said, "Then guess what? We're staying to watch it again." Who does that for a little kid? And that is such a clear impression in my mind that sometimes the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to do something wonderful for someone else. So anyway, this is a sad story that turned out great. Okay. Exchanging vows and announcing pregnancy. Now, this is amazing. Because of the COVID and everything else, girls are pregnant now when they get married. I think it's great. I would love Matt to say, "I'm getting married and she's pregnant." That would be like, I won the lottery. I got everything. So that's how everyone feels about it now. And there's this company, British maternity brand, Tiffany Rose. The company sold nearly 18,000 bridal dresses last year, more than 1,500 of them to the United States Go Team. And its U.S. wedding dresses sales rose 35% from 2 years earlier. Go Team. This is everything. So girls are just, they're making the celebration where there's a little moment where they have a gender reveal. I love it. I love it. Get your cake, eat it too. Get your cake, eat it too. Get your wedding cake and eat it too. Give everybody everything. So they call it mid-pregnancy marriages. And according to the wedding registry, Joy, there was a 180% increase in baby-related items appearing on wedding registries. So you could buy a baby a present instead of some dumb pot or pan. I am so into it. Okay, now this was the biggest news of the week. This is so cool. An endangered tortoise is a first-time dad at 90. The oldest animal at the Houston Zoo, a radiated tortoise born nearly a century ago, is finally a father. The zoo announced this month that Mr. and Mrs. Pickles welcomed three tortoise hatchlings, Dill, Gherkin, and Jalapeno. All three names are comfortably in the family of pickled preserves. That is true. It was an astonishing feat, zoo officials said, not only because Mr. Pickles is 90 years old, but also because he's critically endangered and they rarely ever produce offspring. Now, Mr. Pickles has been a resident of the zoo for 36 years, and his wife, Mrs. Pickles, who is now 53, they've been trying to make a baby since 1996. I love it. You should see the hatchlings. Dill, Gherkin, and Jalapeno are the cutest. I would say Dill is the cutest, but I don't know what if the mother would agree. But they've been at it since 1996, constantly trying to have this baby. She's 53, he's 90, 96. Oh my God, how many years is that? That is so many years. That is so, so, so very many years. 96, 106. That's like 27 years they've been trying. And they have three. Biggest news of the week, beyond belief. Okay, Camelot is coming back to Broadway. Aaron Sorkin has rewritten the treatment, and they've taken a few things out of it. Oh my gosh, they were going to take some really good songs out of it, like How to Handle a Woman, because of political correctness or something. But there was a big fight to keep it in, and they kept it in. And what do the simple folk do? They're keeping it in with dialogue that sort of explains it, which is fine. Just don't take it out. Don't destroy everything. Figure out a way to make it work. And so Aaron did all that. Okay, now there's this beautiful marriage between these two guys, and one of them is from Brazil, and he swore off romance. Came to America, and he said being in gay in Brazil was a little bit tough for him. So he came to America to become a dishwasher in a Portuguese restaurant. He said it was great, thrilled. So back home, his mom had a restaurant. It made him feel really comfortable being there. But what happened was he had this, I don't know what you call it, like a moment of clarity where he decided he was going to make enough money to feed the poor. And he was going to turn all of his love into just doing that. And the way it happened was, he was in this restaurant in Cambodia, and this little boy approached him at the table, and the owner of the restaurant told the kid to go away. Mr. Gonçalves said, "No, that is my guest." And he sat down with the little boy, and they had a big conversation. And in that moment, he realized he was going to feed the poor. So he makes 300 meals and 100 bags of food a week, every week, for poor, and they are delicious. Restaurant quality meals. Nothing crummy like a bologna sandwich, like a fully, what he serves in his restaurant is what he serves to these people. He was starving for a romance, but he never said a word. His longtime friend and he, they went on this big trip, and his girlfriend, this friend of his, yelled at him, and she said, "You are going to be so sorry. You don't want to grow old alone. It's very sad. I'm going to kill you if you don't do something." So he still had this Tinder account, and he just went, "Oh," and he just went and swiped something, and this person showed up, and it was the nicest person in the world. If you see their picture in the vows section of this paper, they look like twins, and one's from Turkey, and one's from Brazil. And they fell madly in love, although they could not speak the same language. It did not matter. And everybody came to the wedding. And it's in America. They're both living there. They're running this restaurant together. And it's two of the handsomest guys I've ever seen. That's all I've got to say. Now, there's this Prada ad that I do not appreciate. And it's a woman. Oh, my God. Ageism is so mean. She's got a little tiny wisp of gray hair in the front. She's sitting there in this ill-fitting, like, silk dress. It's like a nightgown dress. It's a sleeve dress. It's just a little tiny dress. And she's got a Prada purse in front of her. She looks so unhappy. Why do they make every picture of an older woman unhappy? I'm just sick of it. Come on, man, we're having fun. We know our time's limited. We got it going now. That is not fair. If not now, when? That's our attitude. We'll be dead soon. That's our attitude. We're not like, every single picture. I wish they would stop putting gray-haired women and men. Oh, and the men look great. Actually, they're in pictures with lovely-looking women. And girls, they're frolicking on the beach. The women with gray hair, they're always sitting there dour. That's the word, dour. Okay, the week before, when there was nothing in the New York Times, there was this one thing, and it was Jerry Samuels, and he wrote this song that came out in 1966, and it is crazy. It is a crazy song. It's okay, I'm going to write it. Coming to Take You Away. It is such a good song. It came out and we went crazy because it was out of this world. Nobody had ever heard a song like it. The lyrics were insane. So that's the crazy thing. I'm gonna play it for you in 1 second. So the guy, it was the only hit he ever had, and it came because they were coming to take him away. So it goes like this. You know you've heard it. Goes like this.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
Here it comes. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ho ho hee hee. Ha ha. Farm where life is beautiful all the time. Oh my God, we sang that every day in Catholic school, all day long, because what we were learning was so crazy, and the uniform looked so bad, and everybody was having fun outside our walls, and this was our theme song. Absolute theme song.
I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their white coats, and they're coming to take me away.
I'm so sorry he's dead, but he had a great life. But this was his only hit, because how do you ever write anything after the song? That's what he said to himself. Everything ended in divorce, but he has some friends. And he knew all the old standards from Gershwin to Irving Berlin. And so he started playing, this is the best part, he started playing all those songs and this song at retirement villages. And they would get up and dance when the song came on, because even people a little bit older, because 64, I was like, what, 10 when this came out? I don't know, or 15 maybe. The older people, everyone loved this song in America. Everyone was singing this song. So when he plays all the songs at the retirement village and then he ends on this one, and they would sing him out of the building, sing him into his car. People in wheelchairs would get out of their wheelchairs to sing this song, coming to take me away, ha ha. Just 1966, that's when it happened. So my generation, the older generation, this was a song. And he said he was, that Napoleon the 14th wrote it. It's not true. It was him. We went crazy. But the older generation went crazy. That was such a time in history with the Vietnam War and everything that was happening that even, I do remember my father singing this song. I think everyone in America felt like they were coming to take us away to the funny farm. So, anyway, just thought I'd end on that note because we felt like we were going crazy. We thought like we were losing it, even back then, and we didn't, and we're not gonna lose it now. So, they're coming to take us away. No, 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 no. We're gonna stick around, and we're gonna make it, and we're gonna be fine. And I will be back. Thanks. Bye-bye.